Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
just
can...
talk film!
I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast, unofficially the greatest podcast that has ever existed. I am Ryan. I am joined by...
What's this unofficially shit? It's officially.
Thank you. I was just... I mean, science.
We used to say unofficially the official podcast of Denver Comic Con, but they're not around anymore, and we've gone way beyond them.
Yeah. And I don't like saying Fan Expo because they don't treat us with respect, so... Which we'll be there next week.
Thanks for the free booth.
Yeah, thanks for the free booth. Next week we'll be there. Make sure you stop by our booth, say hi, record with us. Hopefully we'll get enough. We're in the book nook. I don't know if we'll have enough people. We'll see how it goes.
Sometimes I wish we were still doing the pod show, because what a ripe premise of like to end the second season.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're over being famous, mm-hmm. and like now Fan Expo is not treating you like you're famous. So it's like... Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's never be. Anyways, we see a new movie and we podcast our experience of the world. This week, we saw The Mandalorian and Grogu. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not. Play the trailer, then spoil the movie. We'll also talk about the big movie news of the week, and there's actually kind of a doozy of a one. And then we'll talk about what we watched this week. Almost coming up on our 15-year anniversary. If you noticed, we have updated our logo to be kind of 80s style, but hip and cool. I love the silver, purples, pinks, and blues. It looks really sharp.
Yeah, I can't wait for the stickers to show up.
Yeah, those will be sweet. So and people will get them at the expo, and they'll stick them where they shouldn't be. And
there's only 100 of them, and I don't know. I messed up. I don't know what I was thinking, but they're like 3 inches big now, which is huge. So, my bad.
You hear that, ladies? 3 inches is huge.
In sticker world. If you got a sticker of a dick.
then you're packing.
Huge, yeah. But yeah, you hold it in your hand compared
to like
of
a dick.
The 2 inches ones we've had for years. You're just like, oh my God, what did I do?
Yeah, I can't wait to get them because I have a water bottle that I have all our stickers
it's
on.
It's like an Amazon label of a sticker.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. 15 years, Brad. You and me seeing new movies.
Important work.
Yeah, I mean, probably the most important.
Yeah.
This week, Brad, we saw The Mandalorian and Grogu. Do you recommend the latest from the Star Wars saga?
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it just is like, feels like this could have been an episode of the TV show. Like, I don't know if this story justifies it being a movie. I feel like there's... Because wasn't this like supposed to be, hey, we're not going to make Mandalorian season 4, so we're going to wrap up the series in a movie.
Maybe. I don't know.
And if going into the movie like I did, like that, I'd be very disappointed that, you know, this doesn't really advance the characters at all. It's just a episode of life with the Mandalorian and Grogu. I don't learn anything new about them. It doesn't wrap anything up as a whole. It doesn't dovetail into future Star Wars stuff. It's just like, it's really well made. Like, it's really expensive looking and a lot of effects, but at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like I furthered the adventures of those characters.
I love this movie. I totally would. Because I think it is okay for everything you just said to do a film like this. One, because I mean, the puppetry is incredible in the film. And two, the score is amazing.
It's a lot of score.
Yeah, it's a lot different than most.
I was joking. They like played with every instrument in the available to make the score for this movie.
Yeah, I think it's really great. It kind of has a Western TV vibe to it. They married in the Mandalorian theme song, yeah. Which is cool. And Grogu, every scene he's in, he's the cutest little fucker in the galaxy. I call him. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's a father and son film. And is it like the TV series? Yeah. But a very well-made, expensive version of the TV. I mean, this TV series expensive too, but, I thought the movie was really fun and I don't understand why it's so divisive. Why can't we just have fun things is my whole argument. Here's the trailer for The Mandalorian and Grogu.
We've all heard stories of the Mandalorian bounty hunter and a child.
I only hunt Imperial war criminals. I'll take out every bad guy in your deck of cards.
This isn't about revenge. It's about preventing another war.
Before going into harm's way, check your armor first.
We're protecting everything the Rebellion fought for.
Good luck. You're gonna need it.
Hey. Strap in.
We need a professional.
Hang on.
What happens when you're not there to protect him?
You good? I'll be right behind you. Go! Go!
Mandalorian, you will suffer. Then it will be his turn.
Monsters.
The old protect the young. And then the young. Protect the old. It's time.
Are you scared? You should be.
Good job, baby.
This is the way.
To your point, yeah, it's a lot like the TV show. Literally, the Mandalorian shows up and he's helping the rebels with bounties. And he's paid and he goes and tries to find it. In this one, he's looking for Jabba the Hutt's son, who is missing from Jabba World. I don't know what it's called. I forget the name of the planet. By his aunt and uncle, who are these twin
gangsters.
And at first the Mandalorian says, no, I don't help the Hutts because they're bad people. I'm here to help you and do good. And when Sigourney Weaver's character explains to him, hey, this is for the rebellion and all this other stuff, he reluctantly takes the job. When he goes and sees the twins, he finds out that Rota, R-O-T-A, I think is his name. Yeah. Or is it R-U-U-T-A?
I think it's R-O-T-T-A.
Anyways, he goes to the planet that he's on. Yeah, it's R-O-T-T-A, Rota, to track him down because they believe he's being held against his will. So the Mandalorian and Grogu go there, and you find out that he's part of this underground, I guess not really underground, it's like UFC fighting thing. And he's one win away from earning his freedom. And the Mandalorian finds out that it's actually a setup, that he actually won't win his freedom, that it's run by this gangster, and there's no way he can win. He's going to be killed. So Mando and Grogu bust him out, help him, and
another when he crosses the huts send this really badass bounty hunter to go get him, which he does. And then Grogu, the cute little fucker, and all those other little fucking little cute fuckers.
Babu Frick.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, baby. Good job, baby.
So they create this little thing. I don't know, man. I can't help but be charmed by this movie.
It's charming, yeah.
Because even the coups and stuff of Grogu are really funny. You know, when the Mandalorian says, hey, you always got to wear your seatbelt. He's like, he's kind of like Cartman every time. And he's always eating. So when Mando's caught by the bounty hunter and he sees the huts, they drop him to this pit where he fights this serpent that bites him, that poisons him. And instead of leaving the Mando to die, Grogu stays behind and nurses him back to health.
Showing that he's not entirely helpless.
No, because he's really strong with the Force. Mm-hmm. And that part really got me because, like, it's just the son taking care of the dad and making sure he's okay. And I really liked the catfish character guy who's sitting on, I guess he's like a lizard or something, I don't know what he is. Sitting on the bayou and protecting Grogu. I thought it was just a really cute movie, and I thought it was really fun. I had a lot of fun watching it, and I think sometimes that's lost on people. When I asked Corinne about it, she, of course, hated it. Because I don't know what makes her happy in Star Wars anymore. I guess it has to be animated. But I thought it told a cute story, very contained. To your point, that really didn't resolve anything. At the end, it just says, okay, well, we're out of here.
Yep. Off on more adventures that you'll never see.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully they'll do one to wrap it up, because there has to be an end story for Grogu, because... So this takes place before...
No, it's after 3, right?
Yeah, so it's after...
He's already been released from Skywalker.
Yeah. So it's after Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. So what happens before we get to Rise of... The Force Awakens?
20 years of shit.
Yeah, because Grogu... Something happens to him, because he's not in any of the later ones.
Yeah.
So... I'm interested. I mean... He's a cute fucking character. I think the story's really cool. Even though Pedro Pascal is really only in one scene, his performance through voice work is really great.
Yeah. I guess Grogu wouldn't age that much in 20 years, so he's probably still a child when the sequels are happening.
Because Yoda's 800?
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd still be a child. I mean, I guess you could always pick up at the end of Rise of Skywalker and... He'd still be a little kid.
Yeah.
But Mando would be really old. So I don't know.
Yeah.
He's
probably taking care of the Mandalorians somewhere.
Yeah. So do Mandalorians age as fast as normal people? I don't know the answer to those.
Yeah. I think they do. Yeah.
But yeah. I love this movie. I had so much fun with it. And I mentioned last week, I get welled up when Grogu's nursing the Mandalorian back to health. It still got me because it's like his little son taking care of him. And, there's really funny parts when he's using the Force to put the Mandalorian in the shelter and he made it too small. Mm. And he keeps banging his head over. There's funny stuff. I don't know. To me, it's what I wanted it to be, and I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted a deeper... of all the stories you could tell about this character, the fifth thing that fascinates me most about the series the characters don't grow in this movie. They're just they start this, they end the movie the way they started. And Mando's fascinated because he has this religion with these strict rules, and the other seasons challenged that for him. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this movie could have wrote a story that pushes that even further.
I guess the film doesn't really have, the Ahsoka moment, where you see this mythical Jedi or something like that.
Yeah, it doesn't set anything up for future stuff. And it does start with this premise of hey, there's all these old Imperial generals still out there that need to be taken down. Instead of doing that story, they're like, oh, we got to go save Jabba the Hutt's son.
Which was, you know, it was an interesting twist where he didn't want anything to do with it and didn't want to go back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it makes sense because Jabba the Hutt's a horrible character. Well, you know, just not a good person.
Yeah, I mean, he's got more of a interesting conflict in the story that, like, he's a son of this gangster. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah.
Like, that's a conflict that the Mandalorian should have because he's the star of the movie. Mm. But, yeah, it's just like, okay, we're just going to go from this place to this place, and then things are going to happen, and it's a Star Wars movie. And it works for some people, and me, I was just sitting there going, like, I just wish there was more to this. Like, again, like, there's all these Imperial guys out there, and, like, yeah, they go after a second one that leads to Rhoda.
But... So, it's funny, our buddy Zach posted on there because he loves Martin Scorsese and, you know, he's some character in it.
Yeah.
And I forget what Zach's thing on Letterboxd was, but my reply was, it still costs less money than the Killers of the Flower Moon. Because yeah. It really did. I think it cost $160 million, which Jon Favreau is really great at directing action and squeezing budgets out. I mean, a lot of people, I know it's a lot of money, but the first Iron Man, I think, cost $80 million. And when you look at it, it doesn't look like an $80 million movie. It looks way more expensive. And and Zach thought I was mad at him. I said, no, man, I'm just being an ass.
Ooh, you crossed Scorsese. Yeah. You can't do that to Zach.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Scorsese's rallied so much against Marvel and Star Wars. And I guess when they show up with a paycheck, you're just going to do it, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I guess he's going to make his movies with AI now.
Yeah, I my biggest problem with Killers of the Flower Moon was his inclusion at the end, where he's on the radio show and he's telling you what's happening. And, wow, this isn't the most masturbatory thing I've ever seen. But anyways, back to Mandalorian and Grogu. It's cute.
Good job, BB.
Little fucking little bastards too running around. And I thought visually it was really cool. I think that bounty hunter is from something else. I think the Clone Wars. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was Cad Bane the whole time, but...
It might be. I mean, I'm just not...
I mean, they had him in the show. It wasn't that guy, so... He didn't have, like, a face covering.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a dog.
Look, at they put the Mandalorian suit performers and stunt performers are listed really high up on the cast list. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm surprised, like, that guy wasn't tied into the Imperial plot of all these leftover
guys. Yeah, visually,
guys.
He looked awesome, though. That when he shows up and it's raining and stuff, I thought it was a really cool-looking scene.
Yeah, and he's a match for the Mandalorian, but you learn nothing else about him. He's just another... Does he have a name?
I'm sure they say it. I can't remember. Because yeah. Mandalorian says something to him that he knows him, but I can't remember.
That's a really good scene, too. Like, it was generally scary. Like,
yeah.
He was... inside his house, turn off all the blinds, and
I thought it was fun. And people who don't think it's fun are wrong. Just kidding. Yeah, go see The Mandalorian and Grogu. This is the big movie news of the week.
It's real news.
News this week?
Yeah, I really don't touch on news because everything's so instant now. But sometimes I read something that really fascinates me. So Obsession last week, I think, made $17 million. This week, it made $23 million. It's the first movie since E.T. that made more money its second week opposed to its first week. Most movies have a drop-off because, you know, back then, E.T. was probably in, what, 900 theaters, 1,000, and they only had so many showings a day. And so people would line up. My dad would tell me about it all the time. When he went and saw Star Wars, he would have to line up, and then you'd wait to get into a certain showing. But now, you know, we have so many screens, and they show the movie so much that it's a little easier to see movies. So I thought it was really fascinating that that movie seems to have caught on. And for how dark it is, and it must be a water cooler movie, you know, where people say, hey, you should see this.
Yeah. I think it's like... a mess up date movie. I think couples are like,
oh, makes
I
sense.
Want to see how my partner reacts to like this relationship. So,
and it is a movie you probably wouldn't see on your own. I mean, I took my wife And I guess it is a date movie kind of thing.
Yeah. I saw it on my own.
No. Well, but I would have unless my wife didn't say she wanted to see it.
But it's like two things. It's like, here's all this screwed up shit we're going to see. And then just like, yeah, like here's a relationship that I kind of see a little bit of myself in. Mm. So how does my partner react to that?
Yeah. Because it's one of those things I think where people just, it seems, again, you want to share it with everybody. You don't want it spoiled. You want to see, you know, because people are, this movie's fucked up. You need to see it. I think the buzz behind it is pretty impressive. So that it gained an odd, more money is really fascinating. And I mean, it makes sense. The first movie since E.T., where it made more money its second weekend than its opening weekend.
That sounds... I feel like Spider-Man beat that, but maybe not. Or maybe it was like a...
Well, because remember, even Spider-Man No Way Home made, I think, $290 million.
Maybe I'm thinking like day-to-day. Like...
Yeah, maybe day-to-day it did.
Yeah, not weekend.
Yeah, not weekend. So yeah, I just thought it was an interesting story, and we'll see where it goes next week. Be interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how it works out with when Backrooms comes out.
Yeah, because, yeah. And that'll be another interesting one. Because I still don't understand it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a good movie. And when I see the trailers, they don't pique my interest at all.
I don't think I've even seen a trailer.
No, it's literally...
posters.
The guy just walking up to in a yellow room. It's unusual. We watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Let's see. I guess I rewatched End of Days. It's on Tubi.
I got the 4K of that.
Yeah.
It looks really great in 4K because it actually doesn't crush the blacks, so they're not pixelated. Because that movie's really dark.
Yeah.
I mean, not... the subject matter's kind of dark, too, but... Like, it's shot purposely dark like that, so it's kind of hard to make things out. But, you know, Ultra HD kind of helps it.
I think the last time I saw it was like in 98 or 99. So I've forgotten a lot of it. So rewatching it again, I was like, oh, yeah, Gabriel Byrne walks into that restaurant and grabs that chick's boob and makes out with her. And
it has one of my favorite Schwarzenegger lines ever in it.
Yeah.
You know. You think you're bad? You're not bad. You're a fucking choir boy compared to me. A choir boy.
But yeah, the rest of the time he's like with his partner chasing down. He doesn't know he's the devil yet, but.
Yeah, well, he's protecting a Wall Street guy.
Yeah.
Because he was hired because the devil knows that people are going to try to kill him in his mortal body before the millennium. Remember when that was a thing? And it starts with. This young girl who was born on January 31st or December 31st, and then her 21st birthday or something like that happens
That's right, yeah.
The millennium. And so she's marked with the sign of the devil. I mean, the devil's a fucking dick, you know. Spent all his money in vinyl.
I also got to see Close Encounters of the Third Kind in the theater, which I don't think I had ever.
No, I've never seen a theater. Where was it playing at?
There was a, with the musicals, there was also like a short sci-fi run.
Ah, damn.
So is it the Mills at like 10 o'clock? It's just, it's so, it didn't seem like a blockbuster to me.
It's not your traditional blockbuster at all. It's more of a thinking man's movie.
It was when it came out, but yeah, like the whole movie is like just Richard Dreyfuss like annoying the shit out of his family.
Yeah.
Obsessing over this thing.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah. And just like,
I feel like I should watch that before Disclosure Day.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
Yeah, you know.
I heard it's like maybe a sequel.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just obsesses over this thing, and it's hard to like. I don't even know what like one the first and second kind are. Like, I should probably look it up.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. I gotta rewatch it.
Yeah. But yeah, and then he goes to Devil's Tower, and they show up, and. Flash the lights, and it's all magical and cool. And
yeah, great music.
Yeah, but yeah, a lot of the movies. Yeah, just them going to town hall meetings and running around the countryside trying to chase these like lights. And yeah, it seems so like there's so much. Like you're not following Richard Dreyfuss a lot. Like for the whole movie, like it definitely breaks up between like these scientists and like trying to convince the government that you know, hey, we gotta. Like, I don't even know how they know it's going to land on Devil's Tower. Like, I missed that part. But, like, they manufacture this crisis of, like, all these dead animals. Like, there's a gas leak or something.
Yeah.
So, like, a little town on Wyoming has to, like, filter out. And then there's, like, a couple other people in town who also, like, the one woman, her kid gets abducted. She's trying to tell everyone, like, it happened. And there's, like, almost like a Jaws town hall style thing where they're, how are you going to, like, report on this? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, again, I didn't really watch too much.
Oh, the Boys finale.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch it?
No.
Yeah. Well.
But I know, I was shocked you told me it was in theaters. I didn't know it was going to be in theaters.
Yeah, I'm bummed. I was going to watch it, but they only had two showings of it. One was at 11 p.m. Mm. But yeah, it sold out when I finally got around to like trying to buy tickets to it, and so I thought about just going down to the pavilions, and because it is in 4DX, that's why there was like only one thing of it. But I thought about just hanging up down there, just being like a little poor child of like, please, does anyone have any tickets? Please, I'm hungry. So I just watched it at home like a loser.
You are.
And yeah, it was. I don't know. I feel like. Do you want to know what happened?
I mean, you can if you want. I mean, the memes are everywhere, so.
Yeah.
With Homelander trying to fly away.
Okay, so you know what happens. But yeah, it just feels like Homelander was such a piece of shit. I feel like he just got off really easy. You know, a crowbar to the head. Like, with every horrible thing he did. Like, a better punishment would have been that he has to, like, live without his powers for, like, a long time. And I get it, like, if they let him get away, he probably would have found a way to get his powers back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, he deserved, like, he loved his powers so much. And, like, feeling like a god, for him to, like, live life as a normie, like, would have been way better than just getting, like, a crowbar to the brain. So, in a way, I'm just like, oh, that's kind of disappointing. But overall, it's like, this is where everything was going to lead to, so.
Yeah.
And I've never read the comics. I don't know how it's originally designed.
I do know they deviated a lot from the comics. I'm not a big fan of the comic. I think the show's way better.
Okay.
The comic is kind of sophomoric, and the show is a little deeper than that.
That's good.
Yeah. I know there's fans of the comics, and that's fine, too.
Yeah. But
I'm not.
Well, I was hoping the comic was more like, I was going to read the comic, but if it's like, the social commentary of the show where it's gone, I think is better. Because it's like,
well, I tell you, maybe get the first trade paperback and see if you like
it. Yeah, I'm sure I'll do that. But yeah, just like the fact that they tied it into like real world modern day, like dealing with it, like here's what abuse of power looks like in our world. I think is important. And I'm pretty sure it kind of feels like Amazon stepped in like, hey, we can't have like a show that tells our viewers that oligarchies and, you know, narcissistic people are, you know, the bad guys. So let's cut this off. Yeah, that's what I watched.
I only watched one thing this week. I rewatched The 40-Year-Old Virgin because I got the 4K of it. And that movie's great.
Yeah.
It's still really funny.
Does it being in 4K make it better?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if any movie needed to be in 4K. Yeah. I mean, Judd Apatow is known for his visual flair.
Yeah, it's so, it's such a cinematic movie.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the colors look better and it's, you know, but it's still
Seymour
really
Steve Carell's chest hair.
Yeah. Just a funny movie. It reminds me a lot of You and I when we were younger, you know, just making fun of each other. And I always remember that's the first time I really fell in love with Paul Rudd. You know, because right off the bat in the movie, he comes up to Jane Lynch. He says, hey, yeah, if I have to listen to Yo Tama Bien one more time, I'm going to Yo Tama Bien burn this place to the fucking ground. And they're all the worst employees ever. And yeah.
Circuit City, right?
Well, yeah. I forget. Smart Tech is what they call it. And then, man, how young Jonah Hill is in it, where he's trying to buy the fish in the shoes, where he doesn't understand that she's trying to just sell things on eBay. Kat Dennings is her daughter. I just go, man, everybody in that film is just blown up.
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen. Yeah. It's just really good. Even I still even quote, let's get some fucking French toast. I just, it's just a really cute movie. I watched both cuts again, and I think the theatrical cut might be slightly better, only because the director's cut's really funny. But it's 30 minutes longer, and it feels too long. So it feels like some stuff should be, like, trimmed a little bit. But it also helps it be a little more of a character piece. So it's interesting to watch them branch together like that.
Kellen, I am doing something.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's really fun to, rediscover is the right word. But I hadn't seen it in a while. You know, I just, the whole, you want to know how I know you're gay? Because you have a bumper sticker that says I'm gay. It's just, it's funny.
A while for me.
Yeah. It's a really, yeah. Cause it's fun to rediscover it because if I used to watch it a lot, but when I hadn't seen it in a while, the jokes are funny again and Steve Carell's great in it. Yeah, everybody's actually really great in it. Elizabeth Banks, I love when he says, just ask her questions. And that's all he does, and she thinks that he's so hot because of it. It's funny. Yeah, and that's what I watched this week. Next week, we'll be at Fan Expo. And also, our film of the week is I Love Boosters. So stay tuned for that. Hopefully, you'll stop by and see us at Fan Expo. Until next week, this is the way. Knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd. Look to the only gods. Lights, camera, action. Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.